I know we're a little early, but we'll go ahead and take advantage of the time, so we'll maybe have some interesting dialogue and questions from the audience. So I'll kick things off just with some introductions. So my name is Will Daugherty. I'm a partner and head of the cybersecurity team in the U.S. at Norton Rose Fulbright, based here in Houston. I've been managing incidents and dealing with cybersecurity for over 10 years. Prior to that, I was a securities litigator representing officers, directors, and publicly traded companies in SEC investigations. And even before being an attorney, I worked in IT and network administration. So seen a lot, and hopefully we can give you guys some perspective on ransomware, to pay or not to pay, which is a topic we just got into a little bit, but we're going to try to dive a little bit deeper into that and answer some of those questions that you might have. And with me is Jason Orme, special agent with the FBI.
Yes, so my name is Jason Orme. I am with the FBI. Actually, I'm a supervisory intelligence analyst. So I supervise all the analysts that work on the cyber task force here in Houston. So I get to see everything. And it does keep me up at night a lot. So we cover both cyber criminal and national security threats. We have an outstanding team here. So we look forward to sharing a little bit more about what we can do and how we can support. I love some of the endorsements that we just had from the last group. Thank you so much, Mr. Recker, Mr. Sapp. You guys were awesome, and we did not pay them and threaten them to say that. So thank you all.
Great. Well, we'll jump in, and I think it's just helpful. Most folks know today what ransomware is, but just for those that don't, we're going to give a quick introduction about what it really means today. And Jason, you want to kick things off?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure everybody here is already aware of this. Ransomware involves malware. It's how it comes onto your system. There's different vectors. We can talk briefly about the infection vectors and things like that. But it encrypts your data, it locks it down, usually demand payment, and there's various groups out there. And so there was a little bit of talk about attribution a second ago. How do you know who's actually the one that's ransoming you? And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But like they said, there's various actors, and there's groups that track it, there's bloggers, there's major organizations such as Mandiant, Google, there's the FBI. So there's many players in this, many people looking into this, and hopefully we can help demystify some of the, at least in terms of attribution, and helping you find the best way forward as we talk through this.
Great. And there's really been, you know, a significant sort of evolution in ransomware. And most importantly, I'd say, in terms of why we are seeing a significantly increase in ransomware attacks over the past few years, is largely due to the creation of ransomware as a service. And this is basically a business model, whereas one operator basically develops the encryption tools. They'll build infrastructure that will allow communications with victim companies. They create a leak site on the dark web that they can post victim companies' data. They create all of this infrastructure and these tools, and then they go out and advertise to try to recruit other groups that are really going to be tasked with getting the initial access into the environment, and then utilizing the tools that this operator provides to them with the view that they ultimately can split some of the ransom payments. So what's really important about this is that, number one, makes it a lot more difficult from an attribution perspective on those initial attack vectors to know specifically, you know, whether this is a TTP or technique, tactic, or procedure associated with a known threat actor group. The other thing is we're seeing a lot of these affiliates starting to move more quickly from one ransomware as a service group to the next. So when you think you have a TTP early on that you might have blocked and detected before you actually get encryption and a ransom note that tells you who you're dealing with, it's harder to tell specifically, you know, who you're dealing with. Another, I think, a very interesting dynamic that is just really starting to come out over the past month or so is that we're starting to see threat actors install timed wiper malware. So they basically get into the environment, they run their standard encryption, and then they're starting to deploy these timed malware wipers that don't just encrypt the data, but they'll actually delete the data. So this gives a significantly greater level of leverage for threat actors. If the organization has encryption and they're trying to decide, oh, how are our backups, you know, how are, you know, should we reach out to the threat actor, should we not reach out to the threat actor? And it's really out of the ransomware group's control, arguably, in these circumstances. And so it's a new, interesting dynamic to see how this is going to play out and whether or not, you know, how widely adopted this becomes by other threat actor groups. But there's a lot of different threat pressure tactics that threat actors can use to really get you to force either payment or engagement from doing DDoS attacks, distributed denial of service attacks on your publicly facing websites. That's a very common tactic. It's really cheap and easy for them to get the infrastructure to do that.